Now, friends, I trust we didn't bore you too much last time, but we were following along in a rather meticulous and verse-by-verse fulfillment of the wonderful prophecy that is given in this particular section. It reveals all of the different plotting and the strategy and the murdering and the hatred and the bitterness that's in the human heart as these nations warred back and forth, Ptolemy in Egypt, and then Seleucus in Syria, and Israel was caught in between all of that. They seemed to have made the wrong choices, and they suffered a great deal during that particular period. Now, we went into a great deal of detail. The book that we've mentioned, our book on Daniel, gives all of this. And if you'd even like more detail, I would suggest that you get one of the larger Bible encyclopedias, like Hastings or ISB, International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, and read in detail this particular section here in secular history. And you will find that it's very marvelous the way it was so literally fulfilled, so much so that the critic, as far as I know, has never tried to say that this was not an accurate account that was given. What he said is that it was written afterward. Now, if you want to follow the critic, fine, well enough. He has a certain amount of scholarship on his side, but I think conservative scholarship today has absolutely demolished liberal scholarship with its bias and its prejudice, as if assume that it had to be written later because they don't believe in miracles. Well, so what? Some of the rest of us believe in miracles. And therefore, we believe that this makes this a very remarkable section of the Word of God. Now, I want to begin reading where I left off last time. And we saw that the king of the north is Syria and the Seleucidae dynasty. Seleucus had been one of the generals of Alexander the Great. He took that section of the empire at the death of Alexander. And Ptolemy took Egypt. And these two warred back and forth. And I'm reading now verses 15 and 16 of the 11th chapter of Daniel. So the king of the north shall come, cast up a mount, and take the most fenced cities, and the arms of the south shall not withstand, neither his chosen people, neither shall there be any strength to withstand. But he that cometh against him shall do according to his own will, and none shall stand before him. And he shall stand in the glorious land, which by his hand shall be consumed. Now we are finding out why this is recorded and given in the book of Daniel, because it concerns the glorious land. Now the glorious land refers to Palestine, Bible land, to this land that God had vouchsafed to Abraham and those coming after him. Now, secular history records this victory of Antiochus the Great over Egypt. And it was a rather decisive victory, and it caused Israel to suffer immeasurably at that time. Now, I'm going to pass over some of the secular history. You care to go into detail, I've already made this suggestion, and there is a period of 125 years here that was literally fulfilled, but I'm not going to touch it. I'm going to read, though, verse 17. He shall also set his face to enter with the strength of his whole kingdom and upright ones with him. Thus shall he do. He shall give him the daughter of women, corrupting her, but she shall not stand on his side, neither be for him. Now, this brings us up to about 198 to 195 B.C., when Antiochus the Great made a treaty with Egypt, and he gave his daughter, Cleopatra, to Ptolemy Epiphanes in marriage. Now, Cleopatra, you know, one of the old Saul questions, it's one of the typical questions that's asked, was Cleopatra an Egyptian? And of course she wasn't. She really was a Greek. She was a daughter of Antiochus the Great, of the line of the Seleucidae. Now, will you notice verses 18 through 20? After this shall he turn his face unto the isles, and shall take many, but a prince for his own behalf shall cause the reproach offered by him to cease. Without his own reproach he shall cause it to turn upon him. Then he shall turn his face toward the fort of his own land, and he shall stumble and fall and not be found. Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom, but within a few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. Now the isles that are mentioned here, the islands, that speaks of Greece and all the Greek islands. And that's where Antiochus the Great was beginning to move at this time, not only against Ptolemy in the south, but actually against Lysimachus over in the west. Now, and a prince for his own behalf, that would refer to another line, and that refers to Rome, which was beginning now to rise in the west and was beginning to move toward the east. In other words, the Romans exacted taxes from the Syrians. The Romans were probably the best tax gatherers and tax assessors that they've had until we've got to the modern day here in this country. And believe me, today we have the best system of collecting taxes that I think would even put Rome in the shade. But Rome began to arise, and Rome was building a tremendous empire, taxing the people that they were taking. The Syrians were beginning now to fall before the Romans. Now, there are many historical details which we could fill in here. And if you would like to get a book, and you'll have difficulty getting it unless you can find a minister that has it in his library or find it in a good secondhand bookstore, it would be Dr. A.C. Gabelline on the book of Daniel. And you'll find it very helpful indeed. Be very much worthwhile if you could get that book. Are the coming prince by the former chief of Scotland Yard, Sir Robert Anderson. That is another book that you'd find extremely helpful in this period if you care to go into all of these details.